you may have issues with Salah where you'd hold him for all of this and up to 25. He gets the double and then immediately him, Trent, and maybe if you load it up, you know, Darwin or whatever, they all blank in 26.
Free hit time.
So it could be free hit time, but the last part of this equation that you see on the screen is game week 29. And that's the traditional big blank game week that we have every year. It's the FA Cup sixth round. We expect the most blanks there. But again, that depends on fixtures. There aren't that many Premier League teams facing each other in this current round of the FA Cup. Two rounds from now, we don't know what's going to happen. But if it's a scenario where there's only three or four blanks, maybe you get through with just transfers. If it's a bigger blank, up to, say, eight blanks, then yeah, free hit 29. So then suddenly you're in a position where you use your free hit in 26 and then you're screwed in 29.
All right. Sounds like fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the FPL Banger Show. My name is Siva. I'm joined by Sam. Long last, we are back, Sam, for the Game Week 21 preview. What has been going on, man?
Christmas, New Year's, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff. Too many fixtures. Fixtures are too close for us to even, you know, record a pod in between. But we're back to some form of normalcy, although this game week is far from normal.
See, one of the reasons we were thinking about having shows during Christmas, and then we sort of decided, you know what, the transfers are pretty template, right? Everyone's kind of making the same moves anyway. There's not really much places you can go. So many people injured. You're kind of boxed in. So there's not really much to talk about. But suddenly you come to Game Week 21, and it's all turned on its head. You've got doubles, blanks, and all this that stuff. Let's start off. How much or how little do you actually know about the upcoming double game week?
Double game weeks coming up. I think it's because of the fixtures that were just played, right? So Ben Krillin has done the work for us. All we need to do is just follow him and yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of content out there, and if you're like me and you try and, you know, I try, it's weird because we make content, but I actually don't like spending that much time listening to a lot of FPL shows. I like to get my stuff, you know, quick and easy. Ben is the best way to do it. And so after a bit of, you know, maybe about half an hour of reading today and looking at Ben, and we've got a chart on the screen now from Mikel Tokvam, who Ben will always cite. He does algorithms and so on. So he's looked at probabilities and double game weeks. And so just to give you, because you can listen to a bunch of pods and they'll tell you all the scenarios. I think we'll just focus on the most likely ones and what people are expecting in terms of double game weeks. As you can see on the screen, the likelihood is that Man City have a double game week soon. It's either going to be 25 or 28. So game week 25 or game week 28. And that double will be against, and I have this here, Chelsea and Brentford, assuming it falls in 25. And by that same token, Brentford, if they have the double in 25, they'll be playing Liverpool and Man City. And there's a chance that Liverpool have a double also in 25. And it's an even better one because they'd be having Brentford and Luton. So that's the high-level stuff. And of course, yeah. So why is this important? You know, it's a few weeks away. Does this even matter to your transfers? It does, because AFCON ends around Game Week 24, the final. So by Game Week 25, it's a week away from Game Week 24, Salah should be back. So triple captain Salah.
If they make it all the way to the final, yeah.
That's another thing, right? If they make it all the way. If they don't, if they get knocked out earlier, then you'll want him back even earlier. Trent injured this week, supposedly for 3 weeks, but in theory should then be back by Game Week 25 for this massive double.
Yeah.
Haaland,
this is the problem, I think. Not a problem, but I'm not sure if everyone is aware, but this game week is played over 2 weekends. So although it says, like, you know, Trent is out for 3 weeks, theoretically, if you include this week, 3 weeks could be one game week and he'll be back for the next game week. So yeah.
He could. I mean, Trent's only out for 3 weeks, so yes, he could be really back very soon. And if they do have the double in 25, suddenly you're going to want him. Now, when do these doubles get confirmed? We don't know for sure. It's possible that we'll have a better idea by next week, because by the game, well, not by next week, but by game week 22, because by then the Carabao Cup final will be fixed. We'll know the outcome of the second legs, and then you'll have more chance of an actual confirmation on game week 25's double. That all aside, right, you've also got to bear in mind that in game week 26, if Liverpool double in 25, they will most likely blank in 26 because of the Carabao Cup. So in 26, Liverpool could blank. You could also have a scenario where Spurs and Chelsea blank, again, because Carabao Cup. There is a limited possibility in which these teams get knocked out of the FA Cup. Then their blanks could be somehow shoved in into a later part of game week 26. Assuming they all make it through, then you have a massive blank in game week 26. So you may have issues with Salah where you'd hold him for all of this and up to 25. He gets the double and then immediately him, Trent, and maybe if you load it up, you know, Darwin or whatever, they all blank in 26.
Free hit time.
So it could be free hit time, but the last part of this equation that you see on the screen is game week 29. And that's the traditional big blank game week that we have every year. It's the FA Cup sixth round. We expect the most blanks there. But again, that depends on fixtures. There aren't that many Premier League teams facing each other in this current round of the FA Cup. Two rounds from now, we don't know what's going to happen. But if it's a scenario where there's only three or four blanks, maybe you get through with just transfers. If it's a bigger blank, up to, say, eight blanks, then yeah, free hit 29. So then suddenly you're in a position where you use your free hit in 26 and then you're screwed in 29.
All right. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think your mileage may vary as to whether you find this fun or not. Some people find this is too much math and I don't care. Let me just get what's best for this game week. Which,
you know what? Can I just say this? FPL players, dedicated FPL players like ourselves and probably a lot of listeners on the pod tend to think of these kind of game weeks as like, oh, you know, these are the weeks where the casuals will suffer and me doing my forward planning, this is the week I'm going to shoot up and do well because I planned my free hit. But you know what always happens? People who don't plan somehow end up outscoring our free hit team even though they only have eight players or something like that. It's inevitable, Siva.
I mean, I think back to my classic example, I think it must have been about, I mean, 5, 6, 7 years ago, Theo Walcott was playing for Everton and they had a guaranteed fixture in the blank game week and he was awful. I mean, Theo Walcott was generally quite bad anyway, but he was really bad, but I kept him because, no, he's playing in that blank game week. I have to hold him. I have to hold him. And he blanked in that game week anyway. But like you say, it's a strategy thing. Oh, I'm smarter than these people who are selling this guy who needs to go because he's got a fixture. They don't know. I know. Yeah, you can lose sight of, you know, what's in front of you because you're chasing something. And game week 25 is a month, more than a month away from now. You know, anything could happen. Salah could get sold to Al Ettifaq, you know, maybe a swap deal for Jordan Henderson. You never know.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what might happen?
But let's... The Cancelo transfer from last year is like the classic example of suddenly, you know, you just wake up, oh, he's gone. And he's still in half of people's FPL team. So you never know. But let's focus on the now, right? So this week, Salah's out, Son's out, obviously, AFCON and Asian Cup. And Trent's out, Trent injured. In Trent terms of out. Priority.
Bowen's out.
Trent's out. And Bowen, no offense. But I mean, if you made early transfers. Wait,
let's list down all the players who are out. But Salah, Son, Hwang Hee-chan, for those of you who have him. Kudus, for some people who may have jumped on because they saw his form, he's out. Trent is injured. Bowen is injured. Nkunku, for those of you like me who were stupid enough to try and get ahead of the train, is also injured. Let me scroll down and see. Am I missing out anyone?
Paqueta.
Lucas Paqueta is also injured, so West Ham therefore have basically no good attackers.
I think Marlo Gusto as well.
Gusto, who, yeah, when James was out, some people thought they were smart. Like, yeah, I'm going to go for Gusto, nailed 4.0 player playing for a mid-table team, who's also then injured. Haaland's not back yet. KDB probably will come back in stages. Yeah,
he came on that day.
yeah, he did come on, but he also did say that, you know, he don't expect to be playing a lot really fast because his hamstrings are still not in good shape or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. Basically, very few options this week, but, you know, we've done the research for you. I'm sure you can scrape some names to recommend, Siva.
Okay, let's take it position by position, right? Because it depends. Different people have different teams, right? You know, the template team will have Salah, Son, and Trent. Mine is the template team. But let's start off perhaps with, I think, Salah and Son, right? Because midfield options are dwindling by the moment, right? So assuming you have the normal guys, assuming you have Cole Palmer, Sam, assuming you have... have Saka. Okay.
I do. I actually do.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, I think Cole Palmer... let's talk about Cole Palmer, because some people did sell a few weeks ago, right? I didn't. I think you did. So let's talk about Cole Palmer.
I never had Palmer.
Ah, so then good. So you never... You can't miss what you never had, you know, kind of thing. So that's all right.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I have Hwang Hee-chan instead, which has been pretty decent. So, yeah. Although I did bench him.
Okay, so moving past that. Do you bring in Cole Palmer this week? Because he's a... Let's put it this way. At the start of the week, he was probably a strong captaincy favorite. After everybody saw Chelsea lose to Middlesbrough, less so. But before that, he was... People were thinking about captaincy. So do you bring Cole Palmer in this week if you don't have?
I think Palmer is a great FPL asset for his price. The returns you get for his price is insane. He's still so cheap. He's 5.7. Cheap. However, captaincy, I don't know if I'll go that far. Although, I will say that he has very high ceiling. He does. I mean, like, when he scores, he tends to do it in bunches. A goal and assist, goal and assist. It's only a few times this season where he had just a single goal with no other contribution. It's kind of like an all or nothing kind of deal. But the consistency is not quite there for me to be captainable. I know the argument is that there's just no one else to captain this week. So yeah, I agree with that. If there's any week to take a punt, it will be this week. There's no Haaland, there's no Salah, there's no Son, there's no Trent. Like, all the big hitters are basically not around. And then everyone else, not really good fixtures. So if there's a week to take a punt, this will be it.
I mean, there is no safe pick this week. I think that's what we can say. Like, there is not going to be an overwhelming favorite among for captaincy. Let's just, you know, we do have some sort of research on this. So let's look at, this is checkthechance.com. So they always post on Reddit and Twitter, and we've, you know, retweeted this. So predicted points for this week: Haaland at the top, but Haaland obviously flagged, and we don't know if Haaland's going to come back. We don't know if Haaland comes straight into the starting lineup. My guess is he won't start, you know, if he's first game back. You got Cole Palmer, Jota against Bournemouth, Sterling, Saka at home to Palace. Presumably you throw in Odegaard, Martinelli, Havertz. I mean, go Foden.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Foden basically away at Newcastle.
Yeah.
Basically a random mix of players, right? There's no clear standout here screaming to us, unless Haaland is suddenly fit and starting, which I think we won't know. So stepping back, right? You don't think Palmer's a captaincy option? Fine, but would you be saying he's your priority replacement, you know, midfield transfer in this week? Or even say, that also, he doesn't meet that?
I wouldn't say priority, but he's an option. I really feel that there's no standout template. There is a template. I know everyone is moving to Foden, right? That will be the popular transfer in this week if you don't have him. But I think Foden has come with his own risks with game time, or at least for the next few weeks, at least, you know. This week, he'll probably start as he moves forward once KDB is back, once Silent is back. We'll see. Palmer has his risk with his inconsistency and the fact that he's playing for a bottom half team. Jota minutes risk. So there are a lot of options. Each of them come with their own risks.
Foden has started every game except game week 3.
Yeah, but so there was a thread by FPL Gundo, yeah, who tracked, who took a look, he did an analysis on Foden. I felt it was really insightful because he did mention that Foden's form picked up once he gets to move centrally. When he's on the wing, not so good for FPL points. You know, with KDB out, I think Pep experimented a bit as well. Alvarez in the middle, Alvarez on the wing, Foden in the middle. And then once Haaland was out, that's when he really shined, if you notice. Foden, I'm talking about Foden, right? Once Haaland is back, once KDB is back, he may be pushed out to the wing. We don't really know what might happen. So then there is some uncertainty there, that's what I'm saying. He may still start, but whether he will be able to perform as he's been doing the past few weeks, there is some question marks there at least.
Okay, so do you take the uncertainty over Foden over what I would say is the certainty of Palmer? Cheap, yeah, sure. But I feel like Palmer is very much a psychological thing. If you were 7 million, we wouldn't be discussing this that much because he's 5, but, you know, we're talking about it more. But he's a
true
certain, pretty much a certain starter. He's on pens. Nkunku's out for a few weeks. So you get a lot more safety there. So surely Palmer's the safe, easy pick here.
Yeah, he is, I think. And then beyond that, there are some unsafe picks, like the Liverpool boys. Jota.
Yeah, let's talk about that, right? Jota, Diaz, and then I guess Gakpo's a forward, Gakpo. So
yeah,
he's a forward.
Yeah. No, but I mean, just talking about minutes, you know, there's basically four players sharing minutes, right? Jota, Gakpo, Nunes, and Diaz. And some fans, I think, even throw Harvey Elliott in there because they feel that none of those players can naturally play right wing to replace Salah. Like, you can slot them in there, but I don't know, a lot of Liverpool fans feel that none of them really suit that position. So yeah, that is the problem, I think. I would love to jump on a Liverpool mid. Jota would be my preferred, I think, because he tends to play centrally. And, you know, he's a pretty good finisher. He tends to get in the goals when he starts. But again, so many options. So last night in the... Let me just pull up the starting lineup. So they won 2-1 last night in the EFL Cup.
Yep.
They started Diaz, Jota, and Harvey Elliott on the right wing.
Yeah.
And then Gakpo came in for Elliott. Nunes also
came in.
And Darwin
also came in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they started playing with four attackers after that. So yeah. I feel it's really hard to predict. If I had some certainty that one of them would start, I will be really consider jumping on one of them. But I don't know. It's just too much uncertainty for me.
Well, I mean, I did see the game and I think Darwin and Gakpo definitely didn't hurt their chances because they came on and changed the game. So Darwin got both the assists. So definitely the subs helped. And that probably makes Harvey Elliott the one most at risk because he came off on, I think, 56 minutes for Gravenberch. Yeah. So he's the one most at risk. Jota played 90, but as you can see, he didn't return. It's a single game sample. I think the issue with Liverpool is that this is going to keep happening over the next few weeks. You're going to see a lot of changes, chopping and changing, because no Trent, no Salah. So no real precedent for like what would be the system here. He doesn't know. He's going to just try and see what works. So that makes all of the Liverpool picks a bit less appetizing. Whereas at least with a Foden, and I think the main debate for most people this week will be Foden versus Jota, because most people already have the other guys. So Foden, Jota, and maybe Richarlison is probably, I think. Let's talk Richarlison, because Richarlison, again, we're coming back to nailness, right? I think after Cole Palmer, Richarlison, very easy in terms of, you know, minutes is guaranteed, no Sun. No Valise. Obviously, he's got a world-class forward now to compete with him, who they just signed.
No, but the thing is, right? The thing about Werner, if you remember, he doesn't do really well as a sole striker.
Could have stopped after it doesn't do well, I think.
But I mean, so I don't know how Pochettino's going to play him. No one knows. I would think...
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
five managers ago.
Sorry, I don't know what came over me. Yeah, I think my brain just got confused because Werner was in Chelsea. Poch is in Chelsea. Poch used to be in Spurs. Now Werner's in Spurs, and my brain is just all scrambled. Anyway,
PTSD.
Richarlison, I'm not a Spurs fan. I'm not an expert on Spurs, but I think there is a solid chance that once Son comes back, he might move centrally again. I think there may be, because they really have so many options up top now, you know, between the three players. Kulu, Son, once he's back, Richarlison, now Werner, Brennan Johnson, who is pretty decent. Mina Solomon, once he comes back, also can be thrown in the mix. So I really don't know how he's going to put up the system.
But I mean, Richarlison's definitely safe, I think, till Son comes back.
Till Son comes back. But, you know,
yeah.
If Korea gets and knocked out in the group stage, that's one fixture. If they make it to the last 16, that's just two fixtures.
Korea in the same group as Malaysia, so high chance they will get knocked out early.
I agree.
As we can attest to. But I still think... I think the issue for me with Richarlison as a pick is not... I'm fine with his minutes. And even system-wise, I think he's done well enough recently to give him the benefit of the doubt that he will probably sneak a return here and there. He's on pens until Son comes back, I think.
You think?
The bigger issue for...
Are we sure on that?
Poro could take. I mean, Pedro Poro has taken penalties before.
I would love that as a Poro owner.
That would be heaven. But we don't know. I think Richarlison's the kind of guy who will demand to take it anyway. Probably will miss it, but he will demand to take it. But my big issue with Richarlison is no doubles. I like to look a bit forward, and no doubles, it kind of puts me off. Then high likelihood he blanks in 26, assuming results go the way you expect them to.
That so no doubles, but a blank. That is a bit tough.
No doubles, but a blank. So, and his fixtures up to that time are United away, okay, easy. Brentford, Everton, Brighton, Wolves. These are, they're fine. They're okay, but they aren't fixtures that scream, yeah, I don't care that you don't have a double. I want you in anyway. Like, they're acceptable. Yeah, so I feel Richarlison's an okay pick. If you're looking at somebody who doesn't have doubles, but you just think is a good pick, Pascal Gross.
I know there's a lot of talk about him on Twitter, online, on Reddit. I don't know. Is it actually Gross, right? He tends to do well like at the end of the season when you look at his points. Last season, he had 160 points, 9 goals, 8 assists, 14 bonus points.
Where's that coming from?
What I'm saying is that I don't know. It's just there's something. It just feels wrong.
It's been a while since I've considered Pascal Gross as a serious FPL pick. I mean, it's a real throwback pick. But the nice thing about him is his minutes, right? You go back all the way to game week 15. He plays 90 week in, week out. Got assists in the FA Cup as well. So he's a consistent performer. Gets a place in this team. Their fixtures are great. They play Wolves, Luton, Palace, Spurs, Sheffield United up to game week 25. So good fixtures. They look like they're in decent form. They just beat Spurs 4-2, right? The only thing I have Pascal Gross in against him as a pick is he's not the best Brighton pick. Like, Purvis Estupinan and João Pedro are better picks for me.
Is Pedro a better pick?
João Pedro, have people been paying attention to João Pedro recently?
He does well like outside of the Premier League. Like every League Cup fixture and stuff, he's been scoring a lot.
Europa League is where he owns, but he had that 16 pointer against Spurs a few weeks ago. Looks to have sort of finally got a stranglehold over the forward position. Like he seems far more nailed than Ferguson is. Not nailed 100%, but more nailed than Ferguson. Obviously got pens and he's good at them. The issue is João Pedro is nobody... I don't think anyone is looking to make a forward transfer this week. I think all of us have injuries in midfield and defense. So that's the issue with João Pedro.
Yeah, and I think... I don't know about you guys, but I'm saving my spare forward slot to bring in Haaland once he's fit. So I don't want to make a transfer in the forward line and then have to make another transfer, you know, next week, maybe. Okay. So yeah, I agree. Like,
it doesn't sound like you're sold on Pascal Gross, which I think is fair.
Pascal Gross is deceptively expensive. If I asked you right now how much you think Pascal Gross would cost, you would say something like 5 point something. He's 6.4. You know, like... Wait, did I get that right? Let me double check this.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. You're right. 6.4.
6.4 yeah. Feels kind of expensive, you know? Like, Palmer is cheaper.
Yeah, but most people have Palmer, Sam, unlike you. So
yeah, okay. Fair enough.
I think Doug Lewis probably is a comparison.
And I get that there's not many options. So, okay, you know, like, Gross is the best pick out of a bad bunch. Possibly.
Doug Lewis. So, we talked about Douglas Lewis a few weeks ago, right? And at the time, not considered a serious pick. Now, the people who said he wasn't a serious pick don't talk about him anymore because he is a serious pick. He just came off another 10-pointer, okay? And they have good fixtures, right? Everton, Newcastle, Sheffield United, Man United, Fulham, Forest, Luton. It's a good run.
It just feels wrong.
Plays every week. Right? Surely we're past that because now you're seeing him get returns from open play. So surely you're past that now.
It's the same thing with Gross because Gross sometimes plays left back. Of course, Estupiñán is back, so what? But, you know, he's a real Swiss Army knife. Can kind of play anywhere, right back, left wing, right wing, center, whatever it may be. Just feels wrong.
I don't know why Doug Lewis still feels wrong to you. I mean, but for me, the only negative is... Yeah, so that's better. He's better than Gross. Gross doesn't even have pens.
I would bring Douglas Lewis over... I think what Gross has going for him is the fixtures, right?
Yeah. I think Doug Lewis has equally good fixtures. He plays...
Although Wolves, I think, is not as easy as people think because Wolves has been doing pretty solid, actually, the past few weeks. But then after Luton, Palace, Spurs, again, they beat 4-2, so we can't say much about that. And then Sheffield. So, yeah, I think what Gross has going for him is fixtures and nailedness.
Yeah, I think Villa's fixtures are as good as Brighton's. I think Villa's more than capable of beating Newcastle at home, definitely capable of beating Sheffield United away, and definitely capable of beating Man United at home. So, if you know, fixture comparison, I think Doug Lewis is a better pick. Pens makes him a better pick. Cheaper, so better. He's, what, 5.6? If your concern is you need to afford Haaland next week, Game Week 22 being 2 weeks away because of this long, elongated game week, Douglas Luiz, to me, seems like a better way of saving that cash rather than going to Pascal Gross. Or even Richarlison. It's harder to compare Richarlison to Douglas Luiz because it's a forward against a midfielder.
I think we got to go by price points, Eva. So it's Douglas Luiz versus Palmer, if you don't have. And then it's Gross kind of on his own because he's in this awkward 6 point something slot. And then you move up and you got, you know, Richarlison versus whoever else is around that price point.
I think as we talk more, I'm liking the idea of Douglas Luiz more simply because, and I'm thinking about this, you know, from a template perspective, but most people have Salah and Son and they'll be looking to sell probably Son this week because now we have this double for Salah. So people, I'm definitely going to try and just hold Salah and ride it out now. Because now that you have the prospect of a double in 25, I don't want to sell in 21 to buy him back in 24 or 25. Like that, to me, that just, you don't have that many transfers. So,
okay, Siva,
it's about getting the cheapest. Yes.
Can I ask you this question?
Yeah.
Which is something for long-term planning, right, Siva? You cannot have Salah, Haaland, Son, and Trent. Impossible unless the rest, like no one else in your team is above 6 or something like that.
No, you can. I have looked at it. You can, but you start making sacrifices elsewhere. Son has to go in that equation, and probably Saka has to go, and you make other other reductions elsewhere.
So that's my question. So you would definitely go out of these three premium, I think that's the main question, right? Salah, Haaland, Son, pick 2 or 3 kind of thing.
Yeah, and Salah, Haaland. And I'd be willing to give up Son because no doubles, right?
Will you give up Trent?
No.
If you had to.
Because double game week. So I'd rather keep Trent over Sun if it comes to that. But in terms of priority, obviously, in terms of priority, Salah, Haaland, those are the first two in any equation, because those are going to be the captaincy people when it comes to 25 and it's a double. And yeah, they won't just be captains, they'll be triple captains. No, but they'll be triple captains. So whatever damage is done, because let's be honest, there's a 50-50 chance you get the wrong captain, right? Salah's got the better fixture, so-called better double on paper, Brentford and Luton. But Haaland can show up against Chelsea and Brentford and get a higher score. So you want both guys. And then it's between Trent and Son. Yeah.
So it's it's a risk management kind of thing. Like, even if you get the wrong captain, you still have them. So therefore, you still have some of their points, right?
FPL is all about risk management, my friend.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's really useful for those of you who maybe has not thought that far. So
yeah, Son's a great pick, but he's in Asia now, so he can't do that much damage to me just yet. He's out of sight, out of mind. And I think Korea goes far. I mean, let's talk about the Asian Cup generally, because I think it's fair to say that most people will not know the quality of teams in the Asian Cup. I think the favorite is Japan, and then after that it's Korea. And I think there's a big gap from Korea on to the next, you know, maybe Iran, and that's about it. Like, there's and a Malaysia? Long gap. So
Malaysia at the top, right? You accidentally missed them out.
Malaysia getting better, but still pretty far.
We got Korean coach. Close. We're pretty much like good. Korea, I guess.
Yeah, and Korea got Klinsmann, which is a choice. The thing is, I think Korea's prospects in the Asian Cup are even better than, say, Egypt in the AFCON. Like, that's Egypt could go out in the quarterfinals. You wouldn't be surprised. Whereas Korea will go far in this tournament. They haven't won it for a long time, but they will go far. So all the more reason. Son's not a concern to me until he actually comes back. And even if he does, you can cover. I think you can cover if you need to. You get Richarlison if you really think.
Mads might be back in, 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks time.
Yeah. Mads might be back. So I think long story short is I'm starting to like Douglas Luiz, and you sort of let me talk myself into it. So that's, I'm starting to like that idea, because he doesn't carry the uncertainty of Foden in terms of, like, nobody's coming back to take his spot or affect his position. He is cheaper than Gross. Douglas Luiz, why not? Just no double game week, and that's the only thing that's annoying, right? I think that's the big issue.
True. But neither does Brighton, right?
Neither does Brighton, yeah. We didn't talk about Arsenal picks at all, so I'm just going to say no.
Would you sell Saka?
Not this week, because, again, we've got, more pressing concerns. But definitely he's not. I mean, he's staying more because I've got other stuff to deal with rather than him actually being any good. Something's not going right with Arsenal. So definitely long-term, I don't see Saka staying in the team very long-term. Although in 25, Arsenal play Burnley. So that complicates things, although I don't think that guarantees a haul. So no, he's not a high on a priority keep sort of thing. So that's why when people say they can't afford Haaland, Salah, and Trent, I think you can. You just learn to make sacrifices elsewhere.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you want Salah, Trent, Haaland, and Son, and then the rest of your team will have to be like Douglas Luiz, Hong Hee-chan, and Cole Palmer.
That's probably a step too far. So yeah, you make sacrifices. But I think let's summarize, right? So you're replacing either Salah or Son. I think Son more for most people, but let's just say you're selling Salah this week. I wouldn't, but if you are, top three midfielders to bring in this week. Let's exclude Cole Palmer from the conversation because most people have him. Go, Sam.
Are we talking short term or long term?
It's FPL, mate. Everything is short term these days.
I would say for this game week alone, it will be Foden. For this game week alone. But I personally am very worried in keeping Foden long term. And, with all the things that will be going on, transfers you have to make, I do not want another transfer out. I think I will go Richie.
Okay. Foden, Rich, and then no third option. Mm-hmm. They're that bad. Jota, not even close.
It's the minutes, man. I really like Jota as an FPL pick. He's always done well when he's nailed. Back in the days when it was Wolves, his early days in Liverpool, but I don't know, they just have so many options right now. I'm kind of coming around to Douglas Luiz. See what? Like, I don't have Cole Palmer, and I do need someone to be cheap. So I was planning on bringing in Cole Palmer, but I think you convinced me that Douglas Luiz might be a maybe even a better pick because of the fixtures and the fact that Chelsea are kind of not very good.
Yeah, and he's on Twitch. He sometimes gives you early team news on Twitch accidentally. Mm-hmm. He's back with the girlfriend, so I think that's, you know, ex-happiness or whatever. Quota, yeah. And Pence, I mean, Pence is such a big, mm-hmm. like, game changer, I think. Okay. I'm okay with that. Let's go to defenders. And I don't think this will take a very long section because people who want to replace Trent this week, again, you know, people have different teams, so they may be willing to sell Trent this week and not wait. Estupinan seems like the easiest pick. Like, there isn't... the only other guy I briefly considered was Alfie Doughty of Luton, who... Hey, don't laugh. He's in good form.
He is. To be fair. Yeah. And I saw your tweet, Siva, that you scouted him, like, earlier in the season.
Yes, you know. I knew that he was the one. I just, obviously, one of those where I didn't get around to doing it, right? The only issue with Doughty is he plays for Luton, right? They don't keep clean sheets. So that's going to be your issue.
I mean, that's, Brighton has not kept a clean sheet, right? Up until last week.
Once. Yeah. So what? They got one more. Luton only have one less. I think Luton have the same number of clean sheets as Brighton. So yeah, Estupinan, no doubles, but back in the team... Back in form, we like form. Scoring bangers. Scored against Stoke that day. Yeah. Really nice goal.
I mean, Estupinan has always been really attacking. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's what he does. He scores.
So Estupinan, you know, coming back to what you said at the start of the show was, like, you know, people who don't think very long term will just, this is a simple, easy pick, right? Guy looks good. I don't care. He's got nice fixtures. Let's just go with that. Don't need to think too long term. So why not just trend to Estupinan?
Yeah, possible. I, Siva, however, well, am planning to sell Trent for a date with Destiny. I decided to double up on Spurs defense. Okay, they're both wingbacks.
I've had Udogi since, mm-hmm. like, game week. Mm-hmm. Three, I've not been that sold. He's stuck around for, you know, because I haven't got around to getting rid of him. Why Destiny Udogi?
I feel like no one's keeping clean sheets, so might as well get attacking fellas. Marginally cheaper than Estupinan. And Spurs do have a decent chance of keeping clean sheets. They got a new centre back coming in. Guys are Van der Ven and it's coming back soon. Romero also, hopefully, you know, back soon as well.
So, and they signed Dragosin.
Yeah, Dragosin, who I don't know how good he is, honestly.
But he's good. But I mean, how quickly he adapts, right? Center back as opposed to, say, a forward, right? How quickly he adapts to the team and all that.
So I think I'm okay with going double Spurs. And the only downside I can see to it is that you might at some point want two attackers from Spurs, maybe. You know, however, after looking at what you said about the fixtures, no doubles, all that kind of stuff, I think you probably will not rush into it. So I'm okay to have, yeah. Plus, they have an easy fixture this week, you know.
It's a very easy fixture, sure. I mean, it's the easiest fixture in the league, but still, I mean, all that stuff you said about, you know, that we said about doubles and so on, so that counters your point, right? That's what I, and my issue with Udogi, I have him. I'm going to play him this week because I have nobody else. But he doesn't really return that much in terms of attacking returns. It's one goal all season. It was a good goal, but it's one. He's got as many own goals as he has goals. Oh, no, sorry, as many red cards as he has goals. Sorry. And it's not like as if... He's not Pedro Porro. Like, Pedro Porro is an attacking return machine.
Which is why I have Pedro Porro.
Yeah, so do I. So I don't know. You must have a better pick than Udogi. Why not just go for a, I don't know, Man City defender? Finally starting to keep clean sheets?
Okay. I think what I'm looking for is someone sub 5, which Estupinan is 5, so it's all right. But I don't know. I don't really trust Brighton anymore. And I somewhat trust Spurs.
Spurs just lost 4-2 to Brighton, mate.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all. I mean, that was Brighton's best performance in like months, I think.
I think you don't want Estupinan because everybody else wants him. I think this is you being, you know, you wanted him until you opened up Reddit and Twitter. Oh, everybody's getting okay. Let me move to something else. Like this is you want something that no one else has.
No, actually, it's more that I think I just do not want any Brighton players. They haven't convinced me. Despite the 4-2 win, but other than that, I don't know. I feel like they are struggling this season with their commitments.
If price is your concern, you could always get Jean-Paul Van Heck, who is
a Brighton player. I just said I don't trust Brighton.
I did consider
other options, but I don't know why. I just got a good feeling on going with both of Spurs wingbacks, fullbacks.
All right, interesting. I'm not seeing it. I mean, even an Everton defender feels like a more like I would.
I have Michael.
You have Mikalenko, yeah. The only person I know who has Mikalenko,
and he's done well. Okay, if I actually played him.
Okay. Since you're bringing in Udogi, I'll definitely start him this week because, you know, I'm sure this will work out very well for me. Now he's going to go, having rubbished your pick, he's going to go and score. So I look forward to that. Let's wrap up with captaincy because captaincy, honestly, this week, it's open. We talked about it at the start, right? I generally, you could flip a coin, I think, this week. You could go for someone crazy. And we didn't talk about forwards that much because forward transfers aren't really on offer this week because all of us have issues elsewhere. But Ivan Toney has got to be like the sexiest captaincy pick this week. He comes straight in. He's been waiting. He's been caged up. He's got to come straight in against a Forest who are missing half their team because of AFCON.
And I've been part of the reason we all expect him to start is because Brentford is missing all their strikers as well.
They're missing everybody. He's been playing regularly for the B team. He just got a hat-trick against Southampton's juniors that day. You know, just they probably were 13 years old, but it doesn't matter. He was there to just stat pad. He wants to move to Arsenal, so he's going to stat pad more because he wants to get out. Like I bet Ivan Toney is going to score this week. And it's just a matter of whether you have the cojones to make that move.
That's the thing, though. None of us really need to make a forward transfer. Because I think most of the forwards will play, right? You got flags all over your teams, but not in the forward position unless you have Nkunku like me.
So surely you are bringing in Ivan Toney then, right? Come on.
I'm benching Nkunku and playing Michael instead.
This is the most Sam transfer I could think. Surely you have to be tempted.
No. You know, I never ever bring a player on their debut from injury. Or even a long layoff.
It's not even a layoff. It's a holiday. He had a holiday. He just took a break. He sat on the beach. He chilled. He's going to come in way more rested. Everyone else is coming in tired, jet lag, Christmas and all that.
That's true. Played a lot of games over the Christmas fixtures. He's coming in fresh, fresh legs.
This guy's he's just been in the lab, you know? He's been chilling. I genuinely don't see why Ivan Toney's not a good pick. The only thing I can think about it is if you don't have the luxury of making that transfer. You do. You need a forward.
No, but not necessarily because... Maybe if I don't transfer out like Bowen and just let him be on the bench kind of thing.
Bowen's back in a few weeks. I mean, and Bowen's a guy, I think... we didn't talk about Jared Bowen because, you know, for those who have him, it's really unfortunate. Like, I had him a while back. You still have him. It's really unfortunate that he got injured this week. But they say it's a few weeks' time. And once he's back, you're going to want him. He's such a consistent asset, always returns. So, nah, man. Okay, but parking Toney aside, let's talk other candidates. who are you going to captain this week? Who's your bus captain right now?
Thanks for reminding me for that, Siva, because I have not set one. Which is really important. For those of you who don't know, on the New Year's fixtures, I went camping. I went with some friends. I went camping. Had no signal there. Did not set a bus team. And so had a zero transfers. Captain was still on Trent, who returned 0 points. So, you know, 0 times 2 is still 0. And the problem, the thing that...
It's pretty impressive how badly that went.
I know, because my intended transfer in was going to be Foden last week. So I missed out on Foden's points, missed out on captaincy. And yeah, the only benefit for me is that I have 2 transfers this week, which helps because there are so many damn flags in my team. So yeah.
So it's good that you've illustrated the importance of always having some call it a bus captain, but I think in your case, a camping trip / no internet captain, you should always have one. So set your captaincy now, Sam. Who's it on?
Oh, man.
It's good, right? This week, you actually need to think about it.
It will be one of my transfers in. Because in my existing players, no one is captainable. Except, I don't know, Saka maybe. But Arsenal as a whole is not playing well. Watkins, possibly. But again, I don't know. Low ceiling, maybe. Yeah, it will be one of my transfers in.
Watkins feels like no matter who you have, he's going to be your vice. Like, he's like...
Yeah. Safe, but not explosive.
Bridesmaid kind of material. Not bright.
Yeah, yeah. Perennial bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it'll be one of my transfers in. Definitely. I haven't decided who my transfer in. If my transfer in is Richie, it will be Richie. If my transfer in is Foden, it'll be Foden.
My issue with both Foden and Richie is they're playing away, and there's something about it. Like, I don't, you know, I don't like captaining guys away. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle finally show up. They're at home. You know, they were away at Anfield, but this time they're at home. So maybe a bit more of a fight. And then same for United, right? You know, new ownership, maybe Ineos coming in, maybe Ten Hag's a bit more motivated to get something out of these guys. Sancho gone, so you've gotten rid of the problems, right? So to speak. I don't know. I would like to captain somebody playing at home. And that's the only minute reason why Saka would feature in my consideration.
Okay.
Although Arsenal's home record recently is pretty good.
But Saka's home record is pretty good. Decent, I guess. He returns at home a lot, even if Arsenal don't win the game or whatever. Look at, if you want someone playing at home, right, Siva, there's basically almost no one. Chelsea, maybe Palmer. You're not going to captain a United player, Arsenal players. Brentford, but, you know, unless you've got Tony, there's no one else. Bournemouth, will you captain Solanke at home against Liverpool?
Former team, you know, former team, all that motivation, ex-motivation. And Bournemouth have been excellent.
They have their manager arrive.
Yeah.
Then you got Brighton against Wolves, who you can maybe captain Gross if you're really, really brave. Wouldn't recommend it, though.
I mean, João Pedro would be the captaincy pick if you want. It's funny because this Bowen injury really messes things up, because Bowen at Sheffield United would have been also a viable pick. Yeah. I mean, come back to Cole Palmer, man. You don't like him as a captaincy pick, but I struggle to think of somebody who is better than Cole Palmer.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Also, one thing we didn't discuss is the way this game week works, right? It's across 2 weeks. So if you pick a guy who's playing 10 days from now and they get injured between now and then, you won't be able to react. Whereas in theory, you pick a Chelsea guy, he plays on Saturday, the first Saturday.
You should pick someone in the first fixture. That would be the safer.
In theory, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if your guy, you know, trips over a tortoise in Dubai or something, and then on his way back, yeah, he's injured. You know, you don't know. Like, even Solanke, right, didn't play in the FA Cup that day. He was out of the squad. So we don't know. Maybe he's got something. We don't know. We're not going to know because we won't get a press conference.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Those who are playing next week, you won't get their press conference until after the FPL deadline.
Yeah, and that includes Saka, that includes the Liverpool guys, that includes Solanke, includes even the Brighton guys. They play very, very much at the end.
West Ham, Brentford. No. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, all signs does seem to point to either Palmer or
Foden, man. Villa, it's either Palmer or Foden or Richarlison. Luis. Doug Luiz as a captaincy. I don't know. Dad.
Watkins, maybe. Watkins.
Cole Palmer, man. I think it's got to be Cole Palmer. Okay, West London Derby. On pens.
So for you, it will be Cole Palmer?
Yeah, it's boring. I really want to be sexy about this, but I can't think of a better pick. Yeah, I just can't.
Okay.
Richarlison is a possibility, yeah, because United are just that bad.
Yeah. For me, it will be whoever I bring in. If it's Foden, it'll be Foden. If it's Richarlison, it'll be Richarlison. If it's... Douglas Lewis, then it'll be Saka.
For Doug Lewis. All right. I think, yeah, that's us done. We'll be back for Game Week 22. Anything else, Sam?
No, that's it. Just get your green arrows, guys, and we'll see you next week. Next game week. All right.
Cheers.